This is exactly right.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally, after fucking, 55 episodes?
We did it in the creepiest way possible.
Not very beautifully.
Hi.
Click.
Welcome.
Everyone just hung up on us.
Click.
Is that a thing?
Goodbye. Click. Welcome to My Favorite Murder.
Minisodes.
You know the ones.
The ones that you send us so we don't have to do any work.
God, we appreciate it
Thank you so much.
So much. So much. This round of minisodes is brought to you unofficially by the Del Taco that was on my way over here. We all ate it. Me, Stephen, and Georgia.
Family
and
meal.
It was one of the saddest. It was the family meal of the saddest family.
I had a burrito with a whiskey.
I had two tacos and French fries, which I had to stop eating because I was like, this is wrong. This is against God.
Do you know what the secret to Del Taco is? This is not a fucking plug for Del Taco. Well, it is because it's fucking great. But do you know what the secret is to their French fries is their guacamole? Have you ever dipped their fries in the guacamole?
So what you're saying is the secret is being shit-faced drunk?
Yes. I mean, that's the secret to everything.
to life.
Especially these days. When you texted me, like, does anyone want anything from Del Taco? I almost started crying. It's like, I didn't even know I wanted anything.
It's kind of, I bet you that's how Postmates was born, is like somebody else did that for someone where they're, because what's better than someone bringing you fast food? It's nothing. So shameful to eat that somebody taking it to your door and being like, hey, you don't even have to risk being seen in the Del Taco drive-thru.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's my biggest, well, not anymore, but when I had fucking crazy eating issues.
Yes.
The thought, especially like if I go to a fast food restaurant with someone, and they'd go to the bathroom when I'd sat there alone. And the thought of someone driving by and seeing me sitting inside a fucking Del Taco alone at 9 o'clock on a Friday night, which is like fun when you're with your bestie.
Right.
But then suddenly you're alone. Oh my God. I would be like, can you just wait?
But can you just not go to the bathroom? But these days, if you think about it, or if like from the 40-year-old perspective, 40 plus, it's actually a political act to sit alone in a McDonald's. Like, fuck all y'all. I'll do what I want.
Your shame slowly dies when you get older.
Yeah, you start to realize how much nothing matters, and B, everyone else is so consumed with their own shame, they're not paying attention to you.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's done worse things than sit alone in a fucking Del Taco.
Way worse.
You're
things.
Probably an angel.
That's, chances are. I tried to write a joke about this where one time I was like, got pulled up and the girl was like, hi, welcome to McDonald's. How are you? Or it was when I got to the pay window or whatever, where she was being overly solicitous. I'm like, hi, how are you doing tonight? I was like, obviously not good if I'm here. I don't want to talk to you about it. Mm-mm. Like, take my money. Mm-mm. Do not make eye contact with me. This is a shaming moment. I don't want to be here.
No, nobody does. Nobody wants anyone to be there.
No. It's not good for you.
Everyone wish you were having a better night.
I wish I was the kind of girl. I had a friend who was very thin all her life, and she was the kind of girl to be like, oh, do you want to go get French fries? I'd be like, yes, moment of the day. That's why I can't.
Let's get a side of a fucking entire cheeseburger.
Yes.
With that.
Let's get four things and pretend we're ordering for our family at home. Let's do that.
There's so much. We could just do this. yeah. for days.
That's for the eating disorder podcast.
We should have our third weekly podcast is shame. Things we're shamed about.
Shame.
Not shamed anymore. That's shameless. Right. It's also called shame.
Right. And we get sued by Showtime or HBO. We're not sure.
Right. Anyway,
burps aplenty.
It's going to be a burp. I mean, I burp a lot anyways, but you giving me permission by burping too is going to help me.
Yeah, I'm going to kick it off.
Please do.
Let's try to punctuate each hometown murder with a large and raucous Del Taco belch.
Let's do it.
Here's my first one. It's the subject line is Hometown Murder Amsterdam, the Donald Duck Killer. Are you ready?
All of this sounds fun.
How's your mind working right now?
Fun.
Do you imagine that this killer is a guy with a speech impediment who is naked from the waist down? That's the first thing that popped in my head.
Not what I was thinking
Sailor in a blue outfit with no pants.
I was thinking like a wild Halloween party in the sky in Amsterdam, because I heard they have wild Halloween parties, and he's dressed... But yours makes way more sense.
I mean, there's so many possibilities. Yeah. Steven, you want to make a guess of what could possibly be going on? Oh, you know.
Oh, yeah, you
that's
know.
That's right. Spoilers.
I think that he is in California, and it has nothing to do with Donald Duck.
Or Amsterdam.
He's not even in Amsterdam.
He's just like a stoner in California that loves Disneyland.
Yep.
Ready?
Yeah.
Hello, ladies. First, I want to say that I'm obsessed with MFM. You guys are so funny, and I thanks to you, am becoming... Oh, got it. Commas. I, thanks to you, am becoming an expert on American murder, crime, and punishment, whichever is kind of weird and pointless for someone living in the Netherlands, but whatever.
That was so charming. Now this misses.
Is it weird? We love you, whoever you are. It's Sane.
Donald. What?
Donald. It's the murderous duck writing firsthand. Okay. This case is from 1971. From 1971 became known as the Donald Duck Murder, and it happened in a park in the south of Amsterdam. Ew. Beatrix Park, named after the queen. We had to look that one up.
Who the fuck?
I bet she's pretty awesome looking.
Yeah.
Queen Beatrix of Amsterdam. Or the Netherlands.
She's like Alice in Wonderland character.
Yeah. You think so? She's got her head is way bigger than the rest of her body.
Yeah, and that, like, the thing that looks like a coffee filter is her collar.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It's in a nice, quiet neighborhood. I was born 12 years earlier and have many happy memories of the park, so hearing this story was very shocking.
I was born 12 years earlier. Not I was 12 years old.
Right.
I love that. Okay, go ahead.
12 years. Everything is from before or after this Donald Duck murder.
Okay.
Are we like, I was born 12 years before the Donald Duck murder.
Were you born... BDD or
BDD
post DD.
I went to the prom 3 years after the Donald Duck murders. Okay. The Donald Duck Killer became a sort of boogeyman for children in the neighborhood, I would imagine, and a way for parents to get their kids to listen to them. Be careful. Think of the Donald Duck Killer. That's fucked up.
Yep.
Okay. I know one person whose mother said that to him. It still sounds horrifying, I think.
Wasn't
a Netherlands wide trend.
Just some psychotic mother.
Yeah. Gerard Spruit, Spruit, Spruit.
Sure.
I realize you will be butchering all the names in this story, I get that Dutch names are crazy. They are. I have no idea how to pronounce
Spruit. They
don't
make sense in terms of English letters.
Okay. He was a door-to-door seller of magazine subscriptions in the neighborhood next to the park, and he delivered Donald Duck magazine.
Ooh,
oh,
what
no.
What the fuck?
Kids would always follow him around because they had a cart that had the Donald Duck logo on it.
Red flag.
During his trial, he admitted to molesting the boys that helped him deliver the magazines. Okay, here's another terrible name. Bas Blomena was a 9-year-old boy that Spruit...
We're not laughing at the name, we're laughing at...
At how I have no capacity to even pretend that I can pronounce Dutch.
No one thought you would.
Okay. Bas Blomena... was a 9-year-old boy that Spruit saw playing in the park in August 1971. He lured him to his house, strangled him, and dumped the body in a rolled-up rug outside the city. Mm. The police didn't have any clues, but the rug...
Except for the rug? The entire rug?
Well, the rug was very distinctive. Oh. And they thought it would help them find the killer. It was showed on television, and the Spruitt's wife actually recognized it, but he convinced her not to call the police.
Yes, that entire patch of rug I cut out last week. That matches the rug that the kid was found in.
It makes me think I should call the police.
You're being crazy again.
Am I?
Take your pills. Honey, take your pills, honey.
I'm sorry. This is this thing I do. 3 years later, another child went missing from the park, a girl this time. Helene Isaac was 9 years old, and Spruitt had also got her into the house. He thought she was a boy. Back in the 70s, boys and girls looked more alike, I think. When he realized his mistake, he got so angry he strangled her. He hid the body in a laundry basket and dumped it in another park where it was found the next day.
Oh, honey.
He was arrested because lots of people noticed that the magazines were delivered hours late on the day Helene went missing.
That's a weird clue. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't like, he didn't have... you know, irritable bowel syndrome. Like, they were late. He must be the killer.
Well, because up until that point, he was fucking right on time.
All
right. With his little cart. Ugh, that's so dark.
Yeah.
When confronted by the police, Spruitt admitted to murdering the little girl, and the police connected him to the murder of Boss 3 years earlier. Turns out Spruitt had multiple convictions for rape and molestation of boys going back to 1943.
What the fuck?
He himself had been abused as a boy by priests in the Catholic boys' home where he grew up. Spruitt was convicted for 20 years of convicted to 20 years for manslaughter. But when he came up for parole,
20 years.
Yeah. There was an exclamation point after that. Good. He came up for parole. He was still seen as dangerous and placed in a mental institution. When he got denied parole again in 1988, he committed suicide, which he probably should have done before he started killing and abusing children, but okay. So that was my hometown murder. Stay
I didn't want to say it.
Love. Sana said it for you. Love from Amsterdam, Sana. You can mention my first name, but I don't expect you to be able to pronounce it.
It's not Sana.
I mean, S-A-N-N-E.
Sunny?
Sunny?
Sade.
It's Sade.
That was great.
Really good.
That was like, yeah, I dig it. All right. Well, this one isn't necessarily a hometown murder, but we got a present that we love.
Oh, yes.
Getting presents. And it was three candles. And so one of them was for Steven, which like warms my fucking heart.
Yeah.
It's by someone, her name's Lauren, and she runs a company called Boozney Arts, B-O-O-N-Z-Y. And she sent us a present, which we fucking love. And so I'm going to read this. We started reading this like card from her, and then we were like, nope, we're saving this. Okay. Hey there, Karen and Georgia and Steven. Thanks so much for making such a fucking fun and hilarious podcast that has united us true crime weirdos across the world.
Hey.
I think my curiosity about murder began when I was a kid in Tucker, Georgia, and our adult neighbor across the street shot and killed his father who lived with him.
Oh.
3 weeks later, my stepdad moved us into that house because, quote, he got a good deal on it. That's when we stopped reading. We're like saving it.
Can you imagine? A couple weeks later. Did you hear what happened across the street? Ooh, that's so creepy. And then your dad's like, family meeting.
3 weeks later.
Family meeting. Gather around. I got everybody Del Taco. Gather around.
I bet he made all the kids carry the furniture across the street to the murder house. Oh, pick a bedroom.
I saged and clapped the corners, everybody. We're fine.
No, I'm not telling you what room it was done in until you pick your bedroom. And then...
because I don't want to hear it. Yeah. I don't want the fighting.
You know, just pick the blood stain. Just pretend it's not there. Yep. In the master.
We're paying over it.
My business is Boozney Arts, and I make geeky and pop culture themed candles. I've been selling these Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murder candles for a while, but only recently got access to your post office box number.
Access.
Yes, I live in Los Angeles, but no, I won't be visiting the post office where your box resides. The fragrance is called Fresh Grave.
Yes.
Which is wet earth and roses.
That's hilarious. That's creative. I thought it was jasmine. Yeah. That's really funny.
That's creative. I was donating... really That's amazing. I was donating 20% of the proceeds from this candle to end the backlog, but recently changed the receiving organization to Planned Parenthood.
Nice.
I'm horrified what the new and official, as of tomorrow, president has in store for women like us who don't just shut up and look pretty already. And donating to Planned Parenthood is just a small way to battle this deep despair. Thanks again. Hope you guys continue to grow your podcast and have fun with it. Cheers, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
Cool girl.
Yeah. Way to take action. That's badass.
Boonzy Arts. B-O-O-N-Z-Y arts.com.
Boonzy?
Boonzy? Boonzy. What did right? I say?
If the end's first.
You're correct.
Instead of Boonzy?
Yep. Totally.
No offense.
How bummed would you be if like the whole, she was like, thank you. You're fucking saying my company.
Thank you. Except for that's a different company.
Yeah.
That's actually, that makes porn gifts. And so I don't, please don't associate me with that.
Boonzy. B-O-O-N-Z-Y arts.
Yeah.
Man.
Nice.
Love
thank
it.
You so much.
Thank you, Lauren.
What a lovely gift. Can I tell the story of that? Yeah. Georgia also, she goes, we got some presents. And so she was opening them and she goes, she was opening the second one. And she goes, do you want a part of this? And so she hands me, she opens the box and hands me one of the things inside. And I'm opening it really slowly. I'm like, ooh, we don't even know. This is so creepy. We don't know what this could
be. There was no card.
There was no nothing. I open mine up and it is just like a porcelain goldfish from the 60s that you'd hang on the wall.
And you held it up and go, oh my, you got really happy about it.
I was like, look how cute this is. And then George goes, oh, I ordered those off Etsy. It's for my bathroom. She forgot that she had ordered something.
Oh shit. Thank God the card said, thanks for your Etsy order. Otherwise, yep. I would have been like, oh, those are mine.
Yeah. I was like, well, I demand to keep what I open. That's the law of the
land.
And
I suggested we just smash both of them, just to be fair.
Start over.
Yeah.
All right. Number two. Meet Cleaver murderer caught after firebombing a mosque. Oh, how timely. All right. Okay. Hi, George and Karen. I only recently found your podcast, and I'm so glad I did because it makes me feel a lot less weird for being some girl who's obsessed with murder. Hi. I am a PhD student in Scotland, and I listen to your podcast on the lonely, rainy walk to and from work. It brightens my day. Just so you know, this is from Claire. Claire, I lived in...
Oh, yeah.
I lived in Glasgow.
When you were in that...
On a TV show.
That love movie. Remember I made you be in a... What was it called?
Did you say a love movie?
Yeah, what are they called?
A rom-com?
Rom-com, yeah. I made a whole narrative of you being in a rom-com, remember?
That's right.
You lived in Scotland.
And it was actually just kind of in... It was like a arty Channel 4 dramedy or something. I don't really know what it was. But... I don't know. Yeah. I just got the thing of like, I know where she's talking about.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a large country.
Is it?
I don't really know. Okay. So she says, I'm emailing in because I thought you might be interested in a strange but little known murder case that happened in my hometown. Chantelle Taylor was a mother of three. She had a very hard life and lived in an extremely deprived area of our town in Birkenhead. Her aunt had previously died suspiciously and her brother was killed by his ex-girlfriend. Mm. Chantelle was grief-stricken and she sadly became a heroin addict and started working the streets. Mm, she left her house one night in March 2004 and was never seen again. As a teenager at the time, me and all of my friends vividly remember seeing missing posters for her everywhere for over a year. Mm. The trail went cold. 18 months later, after the London bombings, a local mosque was firebombed in a revenge attack, and a jacket left at the scene was found to belong to a man called Stephen Wynn, a builder and former army guy who was childhood friends with Chantelle. When he was arrested for the attack, police searched his house and found a 14-page document hidden under his sink, which contained his life story and a poem he had written about killing a woman who he described as, quote, worthless and, quote, a junkie whore. They also found a number of other disturbing items, including a set of weapons encased in a concrete block in his back garden.
Dude.
And buried bin bags containing shards of bone, bloodstained clothes, and sheets.
Aww.
He cracked under police questioning and claimed that he met up with Chantelle that night to smoke heroin and attacked her with a meat cleaver.
Fuck.
When she stole some of his drugs.
Fuck.
Then he dismembered her body in the bath and hid it in water tanks in his attic. Dude. Keeping her there for months, even as his 3-year-old son played in the house. The smell apparently became unbearable, and then he moved and he then moved the body, hiding parts around the town, and stripped his wallpaper carpet clean so that he would not get caught. He encased the murder weapons and tools in a concrete block and planned to hide them under the foundations of the house. To this day, the only remains of Chantel that have been found are the shards of bone he accidentally left in her clothes. Wow. My partner was in the same class as a sibling of Stephen Wynn, and to my knowledge, his family have mostly disowned him. He was sentenced for 18 years to life for the murder of Chantel, as well as some other sentences for the mosque attack. He was recently allowed out into the community for a visit to his sister's memorial without the knowledge of her family, which is heartbreaking for them.
They don't get a fucking visit.
I guess they do. Wynn still refuses to tell investigators or Chantel's family where he hid her body parts, so they were only able to bury her bone shards, though they continue to search. I find this case so strange, mostly because of the shock of seeing the fallout from the size of the murderer's family after growing up seeing these missing posters all over town. I also find it bizarre that he went to such lengths to cover his tracks. It took them 6 months to gather DNA from the house because he cleaned it so meticulously.
But they knew it was her, right? Like, yeah.
Okay. I guess so, yeah. But after all that, he ended up getting caught because he decided to carry out an impulsive terrorist attack and left poems about the murder in his house.
Jesus.
I also see his sibling a lot and wonder how they cope with knowing that their brother is capable of such terrifying things. I hope you find this interesting, but even if not, thanks for giving me a chance to tell this story, Claire. It was very interesting, Claire.
Wow, that's so sad, dude. That one fucking piece of shit who thinks he's fucking better than everyone.
But also that, like, she makes a really good point that he had gotten away with murder.
Yeah.
So he was clearly crazy in that way of, like, keeping that. He didn't have to keep any of that information or any of that stuff.
I don't think.
And he left his jacket at the scene of the bombing.
Some people would say, like, oh, he wanted to get caught. But, like, I don't think so. I think he was just fucking stupid. Sometimes people are just fucking stupid.
Maybe.
And bad at criminal.
Or bad at criminal. But he was good at criminal up until that point. So then he does an impulsive thing. Like, I don't know. Just, it shows that it's not a person that's, like, it's not like he's completely normal and then going into some deviousness. It's like, obviously, and also just the way he wrote. Who keeps poems under a sink? Like, that alone creeps me out.
The judgment of her for being whatever he said, like, you know, bad person, and the judgment of the people in the mosque is just like fucking delusions of grandeur, motherfucker.
Right.
Georgia, I just need to ask you kind of a general question. Who among us hasn't stumbled across a 5-ingredient dinner recipe or like a power washing tutorial online and thought, I want to try that?
I know I have, but usually I just bookmark and keep scrolling. It's hard to tell what content online is legit, Karen.
Well, Georgia, fortunately, Masterclass knows a pro from a foe. They only work with experts so you can learn with confidence.
With 200 classes taught by the world's best instructors on topics like cooking, photography, writing, and more, Masterclass has something for everyone.
Once you sign up for their annual membership, you'll have unlimited access to their full catalog for just $10 a month.
Get to know yourself better with RuPaul's Self-Expression and Authenticity class, or learn about problem solving from the science guy himself, Bill Nye.
Masterclass was designed to enhance your life no matter how busy you are. Their sessions are made up of 10 to 15 minute video lessons that can be taken in any order so you can learn at your own pace.
I love it. When you sign into Masterclass, it's like the whole world opens up and you can be in there for hours just learning stuff. I learned about dog training. You can do an improv lessons with Amy Poehler.
Oh, there's the great relationship expert Esther Perel. You can get in there and learn how to build deeper connections with her.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Well, one more?
One more.
All right. Let's do... Okay. Wait, that one's kind of long. All right. So, Linda... Nope. Lydia says, hi there. I love your podcast. I heard your request for people's hometown murder stories. I have 4.
Oh.
And 3 of them, I personally knew either the victim or the killer. The 4th was my dad's college roommate.
What? Where does this person live?
Looks like maybe Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Murder number 1, the video game killer. When I was in college, this kid from my hometown in Wellington, Ohio, I knew his older sister and had been to their house before and met him once. He shot both of his parents in the head after they took away his Xbox.
Ugh.
His mom died. His dad survived. It was horribly tragic as his dad was a local pastor and his mom was incredibly influential in local charity work. What a dick. Murder number 2. Matt Hetzler, a kid I went to junior high with. He was really weird and quiet, and I remember trying to talk to him once and him telling me to fuck off. One day he walked up to his sleeping dad and killed him with a shotgun.
Oof.
He then went back downstairs and watched TV like nothing was wrong until the blood soaked through the floor and began dripping down near him and he couldn't hide it anymore. He called 911 and reported it as if he'd just found his dad like that. Some former classmates and friends of mine are in this video. I think it's a video of like the news report.
Mm.
Number 3, a good friend of my family called up one day and told us that she'd found her daughter dead in the apartment the daughter lived in with her husband and 2 toddlers. The girls were still in the apartment and had been sitting there for 2 full days when their grandma found them.
No.
She couldn't find her daughter and their mom until she opened a closet and found a woman crumpled up and stuffed in a garbage bag. She'd been stabbed dozens of times and her bed was soaked all the way through with blood. Remember that day vividly because my mom asked if I'd go to the house with her to help the mom clean it up after the cops were done there.
No.
I helped carry the blood-soaked mattress out to the dumpster.
Holy shit.
They thankfully caught and arrested the husband, and the 2 little girls are now in high school, and they're just the sweetest kids in the world. Their grandma raised them and did a really good job of it. She made sure to keep the details out of the press so they never had to hear about it from somewhere else.
The poor grandma.
My poor grandma.
That was her daughter.
Her sweet little...
Fuck.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That's... so awful.
Tragic. And the thought of carrying a mattress out.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, was this in the 90s or a while ago?
I don't know. It sounds like it.
Don't they have people that do that professionally?
I think that you can't dispose of stuff like that anymore, right? One would hope.
Let's just say that's the truth.
Let's say that they have hazmat people.
That's heavy.
Dude. I can't believe this person is normal enough to fucking write this email.
I mean, Jesus.
I would be ruined. Okay, murder number 4. Finally, my dad's... Not finally, but like... And in conclusion.
Yes.
I wasn't. Okay, murder number 4. My dad's college roommate and good friend at Claremont McKenna College had a really rough go of things. His mom committed suicide during his first semester of sophomore year. Mm. And my dad said it seemed like after that, he seemed like he was a different person. He'd mumble to himself and stayed alone in his room with the curtains drawn all day. I do that. He stopped going to class and dropped out soon thereafter. A couple of years later, my dad got a call telling him that his old roommate had killed 2 random people with a ball peen hammer.
Oh no.
What's that?
It's just the hammer that's hammer on one side and then
two stabby things.
No, the 2 stabby things is a normal hammer.
Uh-huh.
And a ball peen is the one with the rounded thing on the other side.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Okay. He later told my dad, everyone will let you know if you're not right.
I mean, can you imagine the wave of carpenters that are going to just going to attack me on Twitter?
He later told my dad that he'd heard voices in his head telling him to do it. Oh, my God. So his dad talked to him after. I'm not really sure where he is now, but I know both my parents visited him in prison. I didn't realize before how many murders I'd been near. Weird to think about that. Sorry, these are so sloppily written. Oh, honey.
Are you kidding
me? They're not. But I felt like they were stories that should be told. I'd appreciate it if you didn't use my last name if you happen to mention this on the podcast. Thanks, Lydia.
Lydia, holy mother.
Honey, get some therapy.
I mean, that's just... There's just so much. Here's actually the thing that I love is that she's the kind of person that saw that there was a kid in her school that didn't talk and seemed sulky, so she tried to talk to him.
Totally.
That's what stuck with me, where I'm like, and then he was the kind of person that was just like, fuck off, as in, I am not safe, don't stay around me.
Or like, please try harder. Not that that's, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's not true, probably, but like...
Or that's not going to work on me.
Yeah.
Like, this is worse than... This isn't me, like, trying to, like, listen to goth music and be sad.
I'm so far gone that I can't even accept that.
Lydia.
Those were great. You guys keep sending them in. Your hometown murders. Hometown can be college. Hometown can be your parents' hometown or their college.
Or just some story that you know that like affected you.
You don't have to have gone to college to like.
I sure didn't.
I didn't either.
I mean, I did for a little bit.
Me too.
And then I was like, this isn't for me.
No.
I sure don't like it here.
Yeah. Math is hard. Send them to myfavoritemurder@gmail.com and we will maybe hopefully get to them, I think.
Also, math isn't hard for women. Stay sexy.
Don't get murdered.
Bye.
Bye. Elvis, where is he? You want a cookie? Elvis, want a cookie? He's coming in from the other room. Elvis, you want a cookie?
He did it.
Okay.
Bye.